Hello there, and welcome to the other side of paradise. Let us begin our story. Zelda's story begins at the cusp of a century, July 24th, 1900, in Montgomery, Alabama. Before 1900 had a chance to have a history, Zelda became a part of it. Zelda's parents likely would have struggled to predict the life their daughter would lead. However, given a little consideration on the origin of her name, they might have had a glimpse of her future. Zelda was not a common name for Southern society at the time, so instead of the traditional and ordinary names her siblings were given, Zelda was named after a gypsy in an obscure novel. Perhaps after five children, Anthony and Minnie Sayre had simply run out of family names. Zelda's early life was idyllic. Her father, a prominent figure in Southern society, provided well for the household with his work as a judge, and her mother doted on her. Early records of her life include details about a high-spirited young girl, a child who enjoyed ballet and running about out of doors. 4 years before Zelda graced the century, in the South, Scott was born in the far north. September 24, 1896, in St. Paul, Minnesota, a baby boy was born to a former aristocratic father and a mother who came from new American money. Scott was also given a significant name, named for his second cousin, thrice removed Francis Scott Key. The F in F. Scott Fitzgerald is Francis. He also shared the name Scott with his sister Louise Scott Fitzgerald, who died just 3 months before Scott was born. Later in life, Scott mused that my mother lost her other two children. I think I started then to become a writer. Scott's childhood was markedly less stable than Zelda's. His father struggled to find his place in the world and required the help of his sister and his wife's inheritance to maintain the lifestyle they led. After a failed business venture, Edward Fitzgerald moved his family to Buffalo, New York, where he took a job at Procter & Gamble. Just a few years later, Edward was fired and transferred his family back to Minnesota, where Scott began high school in St. Paul. In high school, Zelda and Scott took increasingly divergent approaches to school. Zelda was already forming into a talented ballet dancer. With her family's status and money, Zelda flitted around town, a popular socialite in the southern scene. School was not her first priority, though she did graduate from Sidley Lanier High School in 1918, just 1 year after the United States entered World War I. Scott had a more prestigious education. With aristocratic aspirations and an aunt funding his education, Scott attended a Catholic preparatory school called the Newman School. He played football and was largely a successful student. One instructor in particular, Father Sigourney Fay, remarked on his incredible writing skills, encouraging him to further develop them. After his time at Newman Scott, he continued his education at Princeton University. Due to his membership in the Triangle Club, a dramatic musical comedy society, he was well connected in the literary and social communities, leading him to submit an early novel to Scribner's Sons. The editor there encouraged him, praised his writing, but ultimately rejected the book. The underscored theme to this area of Scott's life is his absolute confidence that he would succeed. The invincibility of youth still reverberated through his every endeavor, including his romantic life. From 1915 to 1917, before Zelda had even graduated high school, Scott was hopelessly, desperately in love with Ginevra King, a Chicago socialite and a renowned beauty. Yet, like the men Scott wrote about, his infatuation was destined for heartbreak. Even Scott's father warned him that poor boys do not marry rich women. Their relationship did ultimately end, and Scott asked King to destroy all the letters he had sent her. He did not destroy the letters she had sent him. If this narrative sounds familiar, it should. This is the favored struggle for Scott's writing. Some go as far to claim that Ginevra, rather than Zelda, is the inspiration for Daisy Buchanan and Isabella Borge from This Side of Paradise and The Great Gatsby. And yet, it is not completely convincing. with passages from Zelda's diary included on the same pages of these very books. Since we cannot ask Scott to clarify, I prefer the theory that his characters are a twining of these women. Everything he has loved in a woman becoming the love interest for the protagonist that is him. After this tumultuous relationship with King, Scott's conviction that he would become a renowned author was redoubled. This was at the expense of his studies at Princeton. Presently, he was placed on academic probation. Then later, in 1917, he dropped out of Princeton to join the army. It would be Scott, handing control of his life over to the army, that would bring him the things he so desperately wanted: a sense of belonging, a finished novel, and a golden girl. We're stopping here, on the cusp of everything to come. Though Scott has experienced heartbreak, and Zelda, frustration with the confines of a properly bred young lady, our hero and heroine are still bursting with potential. Nothing has happened to dampen the absolute belief that they will lead bright, beautiful lives. And they will. But things that shine brightly are often short-lived.